statement. As we look in God's Word today, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 2. Also be reading some from Exodus chapter 1 as we learn from Moses' courageous mom. You're familiar with the story, but as we worship, as we honor moms, this is a mom whose life we can look to because of what God was doing in her life. And you know, there are a lot of special moms in the Bible, and God often started off new work and new epics through these moms who gave birth, and there were some miraculous things either surrounding the birth or surrounding their children. But Mother's Day, we've celebrated moms. We've thanked God for moms. But moms know how frustrating raising children can be. So there was a dad who went home from work, as he usually did, and he had three kids, 6, 4, and 3, and they were all outside playing, and the car doors were open. The front door was open. There were open cereal boxes and cereal all over the front yard, and candy wrappers strewn around the front yard. And he opened the house door, and a mess probably worse than this one he found. And, you know, a lamp had been knocked over, and there was a vase that had been broken. There were pieces on the floor. And in the kitchen, there were dishes all over. The sink was filled with dishes. The refrigerator door was open. The dog had pulled some eggs out and had an egg feast on the floor. And he really got worried, and so he ran upstairs, and he had to jump over some toys and piles of clothes, and he was worried about his wife, and he opened the door, and she was curled up on her bed, still in her pajamas with a cup of coffee and reading her favorite book. And he said, "What in the heck is going on? What's happening?" And she said, "Well, you know, you come home from work every day, and you say, 'What in the world have you been doing?' Today, I didn't. Now you know what I do." Now, I don't know what happened after that. I don't know the conversation they had after that, but that should have changed his perspective a bit and helped us to understand how much moms do and how much of what they do. It's kind of unseen and maybe underappreciated, and so we thank moms for that. But this is a difficult time that we live in. It's a crazy time in the world. You know, there were a lot of articles this last week about how our birth rate is the lowest it's been in a century. It went down 4% last year, and some were quick to lay that off on the pandemic, but experts say, no, it's not just that. You know, Americans are having fewer children. And maybe it's because, and I know some people, especially those who aren't Christians, and maybe a handful who are, look at the world and say, who wants to bring kids into this crazy world? Well, it's always been a crazy world. You know, we shouldn't categorize the time that we live in as more crazy than any other time, because really it's not. We just have our own kind of craziness. But in the midst of all this craziness in the world, we do bring children into the world, and then the mama bear instinct takes over, right? Because you want to protect your children. You want the best for your children. You try to keep your children from killing each other. You know, you do all those things that moms do to help your kids survive. And it's not just the world that we need to be concerned about. And so, but there was a real nightmare for Moses' mother. And we're going to read about that nightmare in Exodus chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. This sets the stage for what we're going to talk about. Verse 15, "The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was Shiphrah, the other was Puah, 'When you help the Hebrew women give birth, observe them as they deliver. If one child is a son, kill him. If it's a daughter, she may live.'" Is that a horrible time? My goodness. Verse 17, "The Hebrew midwives, however, feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had told them. They let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, 'Why have you done this and let the boys live?' The midwife said to Pharaoh, 'The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they're vigorous, and they give birth before a midwife can get there to them.'" I think they lied. to the Pharaoh. So God was good to the midwives. And the people multiplied and became very numerous. Since the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Pharaoh then commanded all his people, "You must throw every son born to the Hebrews into the Nile, but let every daughter live." And so he said to the Egyptians, "You see a Hebrew child, kill him, drown him, toss him into the river." That's a pretty scary time to try to raise your children, isn't it? I mean, it's hard for us to even put ourselves in that position to think things are that horrible. And we're going to look at Jochebed's story. Look at it as it unfolds. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about her character qualities, doesn't praise her character qualities, but we can see from the story what some of those qualities were. And we ought to emulate them. We don't need to be moms to do that. In Exodus 2:1, it says, "A man from the household of Levi married a woman who is a descendant of Levi." Now, Exodus 6:20 tells us who those people were. Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. Now, remember, they were in captivity, and they did things a little bit differently back then. But here he was, Moses' dad was a Levite. His mom also was a Levite. His dad lived to be 137 years old. And maybe, we don't know for sure, but maybe he went on the Exodus. Moses, you know, went away, then came back. Maybe his dad was with him for a while. We don't know. But they married in the tribe of Levi. Levi was one of the sons of Jacob. And Jochebed, her name means honor of God or glory to God. And you know, isn't it great in the Old Testament where you see how the names are related to character or related to their exploits that God has called them to do? And we know that Amram and Jochebed were strong in their faith. How do we know that? Because the New Testament helps us to understand that. But also in Joshua 24:14 says, throw away gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt. Moses said that to the people in the wilderness after he came back to deliver them. And then this couple had great faith, and this is on your message map. I love the way the New Testament informs what we learn from the Old Testament. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. So why did they do that? By faith. It was not just some harebrained idea that they came up with. It was at the direction of God that they did what they did with Moses. And what's the definition of faith? Hebrews 11:1. Again, very familiar passage of Scripture. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. So what does it mean that they had faith? Well, they had faith in God. That's what the Bible is all about. They had faith in the covenant that God made with Abraham. They had faith that God had been at work keeping his promises through Abraham's children and their offspring. And they even believed God was going to keep his promise when they were in captivity as a nation held in bondage. Now, it's pretty amazing that there was kind of that remnant that believed God was still in control. And it's during this time that Jochebed gave birth to Moses. So let's talk about her. She was a courageous mom. When they gave birth to Moses, at the risk of their own lives, they hid the baby. Now, have you thought about hiding a newborn or a two-month-old or a three-month-old? Are they noisy? Kaylee, are they noisy? Can you keep them quiet? Can you shush them? Nope. You know, if they want to scream, they're going to scream. If they want to cry, they're going to cry. Now, they disregarded Pharaoh's orders and hid the baby boy. I think there was some supernatural stuff going on there. I think maybe God kind of stopped up the ears of people who might have been close enough to hear, because I don't think that baby boy was just totally quiet and silent. I don't think he couldn't help himself. You know, he screamed and he cried. And when you put yourself in Jochebed's sandals, we men don't know the answer to this question, but you ladies, 3 months after giving birth, what kind of shape are you in? I don't mean physical shape. Emotionally? Hormonally? Are things tough? Are things a challenge? I'm told it is, and I've observed it somewhat. You know, there are moms that have, one of our daughter-in-laws had really bad, what do you call it? We men, we struggle with even getting that word out. Postpartum. There we go. And it's a struggle. You know, it's a challenge. And I wonder, you know, she thought about how to save my son. Because there came a point when they realized they couldn't hide Moses any longer. God, help me know how to protect my son. What can I do to protect my son? And it was God's plan that she put him in a basket and put him in the Nile River. That's what God wanted her to do. Now, I wonder if she asked some questions like, but what if the boat capsizes? You know, there were crocodiles. Would that be a meal? Would my baby be a meal for a crocodile? You know, I mean, all the what ifs. She had to faith it. She had to get beyond the what ifs. We don't know about any misgivings. The Bible does not have a paragraph about that. The Bible just tells us what they did in faith. And the thing that was in front of her was, protect my child, God. Give my child Moses a future. And so I really think her courage helps us to understand, don't focus on the what ifs. You can torture yourself with the what ifs. In my message yesterday at Wade's celebration, I talked about the fact that what ifs can never be answered. You know, he died in one car accident. You know, what if he hadn't visited his niece and his mom and his brother and and his nephew and had a late dinner with them and then stayed to talk with his niece? What if? You know, what if he hadn't have done that? You know, but he did. I don't think he paid a price because of that. I think he went to sleep. Who knows? All I know is he didn't get home that night. And the same thing goes for us with our kids. You know, you can worry and worry and worry, and moms and dads, we do that. But you can do that and make yourself sick. You can get so worried that you're just sick. You worry about tomorrow. Matthew 6:24 says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. It takes a lot of faith to believe that and practice that, doesn't it? Philippians 2:13 says, it's God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. When you seek the Lord's wisdom and walk in obedience, he'll work in your heart, and that's his good pleasure, and that's what he was doing in Jochebed's life. And then she was an ordinary woman who prayed and obeyed. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. Now, isn't it interesting? Have you noticed that before? When she saw he was beautiful. Yeah, does it matter whether they're ugly or beautiful? Well, they are. And in God's sight, they are. But it had to do more with his beauty. But see, she didn't quite know what was going on. She didn't know how he was going to be delivered. She just didn't know. She hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with asphalt and pitch. She placed the child in it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Man, that's a short story, isn't it? There's a lot that happened in between those verses. She disregarded the Pharaoh's orders. She put her other children, because Aaron was older and Miriam, a little girl, was younger. She put her whole family at risk. They could have died for hiding their son. Imagine the stress of that. So she gave birth. They had the newborn baby. He was beautiful. And moms, we all think our babies are beautiful, right? When Joshua was born, I've told you the story before, but, you know, our first child, and the doctor held him up, and he had a cone head. And I was a new dad. I said, is he going to look like that? I didn't know if that cone head would flatten out or, you know, we just don't know those things. Evidently, Moses didn't have a cone head. But when you have a newborn baby, you know, when you have a nursery in church, you know, back in the day, and other churches have nurseries, and you have babies of a certain age, and they're 4 or 5 or 6 in a room, are they quiet at the same time? They might cry at the same time. I've noticed one starts crying and the others think it's a good idea. Nothing to cry about, but they just hear one of their comrades crying, so they join in that. And so she had to deal with putting him in the water. And as I've thought about this week, why did she do that? Well, God had a plan. I think she was aware of that plan later, actually pretty soon after she put the basket in the water. But the Hebrews, what had God done with the ark? He saved a remnant. Right? The only people in the ark did he save. I think maybe she got that idea from the ark. You know, she made a little ark, put Moses in the ark, praying that he would be delivered. Now, you might not think that. That's okay. The Bible really doesn't say what she thought. But I'm thinking that could relate to what she had been taught and what she believed. And I'm sure that she had some misgivings, but she got to the point where she had to push that little ark away and trust God. And that's what Noah and his clan had to do, was build that ark and trust God. And they were delivered because of that trust. I think what Jochebed was doing, and doesn't mention Amram in this, doesn't mention dad's input. And maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to chase that rabbit. I don't know what dad thought about that. I mean, that was his son too. But, you know, here she was letting go of that basket. Most difficult thing you could ever do. Just push that basket out in the water. Push the basket out in the water. Think of the feeling of loss. You know, oftentimes we go through loss and separation with children. We have to trust God during those times. Jochebed did that. Don't we want the best for our children? You know, that's why she put him in the water. She wanted the best for him. And maybe God somehow had revealed what would happen, but the Bible doesn't tell us. There's so much I wish that we were more informed about in the Scripture. But here she was. You know, she had to trust God. She wanted the best for her child. And don't we want the best for our kids? But are there times when we don't get the best? You know, maybe there's disobedience. Maybe there's loss. Maybe there's addiction. And there's grief that goes with that. And some of us are experiencing that grief this morning, and our hearts ache for our children. And I imagine Jochebed, as she pushed that little ark out into the water, experienced that grief and that heartache in her own life. But the best that we can do for our kids, yeah, we raise them, we influence them. I'm going to talk about what 4 years can do in the life of a preschooler. But we pray for them, and we trust that God's going to be at work. If we're not careful, we can become very angry at circumstances in our kids' lives that we can't control. Now, some of you, your kids listen to you sometimes, right? But I tell you what, it's a whole different deal when they're away from home and they're adults and they start making their own decisions. And I tell you what, you better pray for them, because there's the ungodly influence of our culture, and it permeates and these are bad times, but Moses was born into bad times in a pagan culture. And here his mom was pushing the ark out, knowing that God was going to do something, having faith that God was going to do something. And the Bible says that the fervent, faithful prayers of God's people avails much. You know, they work. Have you seen prayers work? How many of you are still waiting for prayers to work? Yeah, we need patience for that as well. And then the third thing, we see that Jochebed trusted God. How could she let go of that little basket? How could she watch that baby float out in the Nile? Well, she demonstrated courage, that's for sure. Her decision that day required that she followed a plan that didn't have an end game, except believing that God was going to protect the child. Now, she had to think somebody was going to pluck that child out of the river. Some people suggest that she had observed the daughter of the Pharaoh come down and bathe, and maybe she just hoped that the Pharaoh's daughter would pick him up. Maybe that's true, but the Bible doesn't say that. It does say that the Pharaoh's daughter was in the vicinity. Look at verse 5. And the Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and that was probably not her daily bath. That was a religious ritual. And her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She had people to beat the snakes away and scare the alligators off. She saw the basket among the reeds, sent her female slave to get it. She opened it, saw the baby. He was crying. She felt sorry for him. "Oh, this is one of those Hebrew babies," she said. Then a sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, because his sister was close, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby?" "Yes, go." So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman, Jochebed, took him, and she took the pay. And she knew that she had, until he was weaned, to influence his life. Now, she had to push him out in the water and give him away. She knew there's going to be a time when she had to give him away again, but she had some special time to speak truth into his life. Now, when the Pharaoh's daughter picked him up out of the Nile River, it said that she took pity on him, and that means that she had compassion. You know, she wasn't willing to see that baby vanish. She had compassion. And it didn't say that she looked at that baby and said, "He's beautiful." Now, he might have been to his mom, maybe not so much to her. And she knew that she had the power to do something about that. And even, you know, I mean, think about her and the power to stand up to her dad, Pharaoh, and say, there's an exception here for this Hebrew baby boy. Maybe the Pharaoh didn't hear about it for a while. Don't you like how all the directions the story could take, that, and we just don't know? But here she had compassion for a baby. Don't babies light your life up? Can't wait to get, you know, Sutton, our granddaughter, is 10 months old now, and she's just getting cuter by the minute, and we can't wait to get back up to Montana and hold her again and play with her again. And at that age, they put a smile on your face. They do, just something. Well, she might not let us hold her as much as she did, but you know, when you just cradle a baby, isn't that a comforting thing? Doesn't it help your heart? And so here is this 3-month-old baby, and I think the Pharaoh's daughter had that comfort. Now she didn't, I don't even know how long she held the baby. I think the slave got the baby, handed her to Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter knew this baby needed breast milk, and so go find someone who can do that. Jochebed was the choice. Only God could do something like that. Let me just share you some things that God was in control of that day. Jochebed just happened to put Moses in the right spot on the Nile. Pharaoh's daughter just happened to see the basket. Moses just happened to cry at the right time, so she would say there's something in that basket. Miriam just happened to be nearby. Jochebed just happened to be available to nurse. Pharaoh's daughter had enough influence to save the baby. Now, I tell you what, that's too much to be coincidence. That was God's plan revealed, and God's plan for Moses started when he was born, continued through that time that his mom had, him for the next 4 years. You see how faith and trust play a role in this? I mean, it's incredible what faith and trust means. Not luck. Didn't just happen. That's for sure. And so we're strengthened by faith. Even when the circumstances that we see are so troubling, we just don't know what to do. Well, we have faith and we have trust that God will lead us. And what did Jochebed's name mean? God glorified. And so she wanted God to be glorified through all of this. And her actions lived up to her name. I wish we had names like that. My name, Dennis, doesn't mean much of anything I'd want to share. But parents don't think about that. One of the guys that was a friend of Wade, his name was Adam, and his brother's name is Seth. Now, there's a family that thought a little bit about giving their children biblical names. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has to do that, but it sure seems like in the Old Testament, you know, God had a lot to say through the names of people like Jochebed. And then Jochebed made the most of her time, Exodus 6:10. I'm going to read that in just a minute. Jochebed knew that her time with Moses was limited. 4 years. What can you teach a child in 4 years? A lot. I mean, those are formative years. Yeah, the brain has to develop, but I tell you what, you plant things in the lives of preschoolers, and they can act on those throughout their whole adult life. And when you think about that short period of time that she had with Moses, I think she was thinking, well, when I give Moses back over to the Pharaoh's daughter, he's going to be raised in the Pharaoh's household, and he's going to learn all about those Egyptian gods, about Isis and the sun god Ra and all those gods that they worshiped. And so she was telling him stories, probably about the ark and about the patriarchs and about the covenant promises that God had made to his children. So she used that brief time to influence Moses and to teach Moses and to teach him about God. And, you know, one of the things that, well, let me read verse 10. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. So that's where his name came from the Pharaoh's daughter. There came a day when he grew older and Jochebed had to let him go again and give him back. But I tell you what, she used those 4 years in a very wise way. You know, when we're around our grandchildren, we sing songs to them. You know, I think it was a couple times ago when we were in Montana with our son, I was singing some little Christian baby songs to my granddaughter. And Nathan was there in the room, and he doesn't sing Christian baby songs to her. But you know what? He said, Dad, I haven't heard those in a long time. And I said, well, you could be singing those. You know, you plant the seeds. But more than plant seeds, when you are around your grandchildren, and if they're not getting the biblical instruction they need or being told the big God stories, then whose responsibility is it? Whoever's close to them. Doesn't matter whether you're a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, or a friend. Then, you know, you take the liberty to do those things. And what we do is we take the liberty unless we're told not to. You know, we do everything that we can. And that was Jochebed. She influenced him. Her teachings built Moses' faith. As a mother and as a dad, days are long with your children, right? Kind of like that one mom I told you about that just didn't do what she usually does. I mean, think about everything that's involved in a day and how many hours and the hard work and even, you know, the tears. So the days are long, but there becomes a time in our lives when we understand the years are short. And it's not long before the kids are out of the house. To cherish those times and use them wisely like Jochebed did. And Hebrews 11:24, it informs this whole process. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. How did he do that? By faith. Where did he get that faith from? God grew the faith that his mom planted in his heart until he was four. It's a big mistake to think that preschoolers aren't learning. They learn a lot. I remember some studies about how important it was by the time that they're four that you have these big ideas of faith and big God stories in their lives. Now Moses, he was a character, wasn't he? I mean, he refused to go along with the Pharaoh, and then he killed a guy, and then he ran away for 40 years, and then God had to burn up a bush to get him his attention to go back, and then he had all those excuses, remember? But this is the guy that God sent his mother to put him in the little ark to be delivered by the Pharaoh's daughter, who was raised in the Pharaoh's household after he was four, and was used to deliver his people when he was 80. That's a long journey, but it all started right here. It all started with this mother, and she took her mission seriously. She could not have possibly known what God had planned for Moses. Could not have possibly known he was going to be the deliverer of God's people. She could not have known any of that. None of it. You know who are the most influential teachers in the lives of our children? Moms. You know where Moses learned his first theology from? His mom. Now, God continued that in the burning bush in some miraculous ways that we have the Holy Spirit, so we don't need burning bushes in our life, and I'm glad for that. But moms and dads have this role entrusted to them by God, generation after generation, to carry out the mission of teaching our children about the love of God. Teaching our children to trust God. Teaching our children to follow Him. It takes a lot of courage to do that. A lot of courage. Sometimes we don't look at it that way, but it takes a lot of courage. Because the times are crazy, they're perilous, they're filled with all kinds of twists and turns, and our children are going to encounter some things that we didn't have to encounter as children. And, you know, I think being a child in the 50s, that's last century. Things seem to be much more simple. And I think they were. But it doesn't mean that there weren't challenges even in that culture. Now, I think it's a whole different kind of thing that we're dealing with today. But we need to pray for our moms and grandmothers and aunts and every woman that has influence and men that have influence in the lives of our children. Father, we thank you for God's word. We thank you for a courageous, faithful mom who trusted you and pushed her little baby boy, her little beautiful baby boy, out in the Nile River. And Father, regardless of what she knew or didn't know about what you were going to do, she had the faith to do it. And we thank you for that. I pray that you would help us to follow her example. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing.